This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Hundreds of large oil and gas facilities in six energy boom states, including Texas, are emitting a combined 8.5 million tons of toxic chemicals each year. That's according to new data compiled by the nonprofit Environmental Integrity Project. The EIP report details why toxic emissions should be reported to the Public Toxins Release Inventory, which is managed by the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, but they are not due to an arbitrary loophole that exempts the oil and gas extraction industry from such disclosures. If you're concerned about toxic chemicals that are being pumped into our environment, basically in secret and without accountability, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. 8980, or if you feel that this is perfectly fine with you, we want to hear from you also. The number is 210-614-8980. And with us this half hour to explain the situation is Adam Cron. He is attorney for the Environmental Integrity Project. Welcome to The Source, Adam.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Adam, first question, if this is unaccounted for, it's not, there's no paper trail for this 8.5 million tons of toxic chemicals, how do we know there's 8.5 million tons of toxic chemicals being spewed into the environment?
Yeah, so basically what we've got here is the Toxics Release Inventory is this federal database that covers every environmental medium of release for all the covered industries. The oil and gas industry historically has not been included in that, and EPA has considered it in the past. But so what we decided to do was to look and find exactly if there are other ways to determine how many TRI-listed toxic chemicals and what amounts the industry is releasing in certain states. So for the purposes of this report, we looked at emissions inventories, both from the states and the national emissions inventory. And on that basis, we looked at, 10 representative TRI chemicals and looked at only really the big, large oil and gas facilities in the states to determine whether there will be a significant number of those facilities that would report if EPA were to actually require reporting for those facilities.
So did you look at what you found and then extrapolated and came up with the 8.5 million tons, or you found 8.5 million tons?
Oh, yeah, that's a straight finding.
So then it could be a lot bigger.
It could be, yeah. And actually, as far as the TRI goes, I mean, what we're seeing from this report right here, this is just a piece of the puzzle. The TRI requires that you report every release that you have, whether it's the air, land, water, whether it's to a landfill or an injection well, just any sort of way in which you're going to release toxic chemicals.
So this is not just air stuff. This is the whole, everything that we're talking about, the solids, water, liquids going into rivers, everything.
Right. Our report doesn't cover anything but air because we only used air sources because those were the most readily accessible. But if these facilities actually had to report to the TRI, they'd have to report everything.
So it's just peculiar that because they are oil and gas, drillers, extractors, that they don't have to do it. But if they were anything else and they were dealing with the same sort of chemicals, then they would have to disclose, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So this is really just a protection for the oil and gas industry. They get a pass because they're oil and gas.
Yeah, it's been this long time loophole. It's just been sort of the case with the TRI. They've added a number of other industries that are a lot like the oil and gas extraction industry. For example, certain kinds of mining have to report, oil refineries, petroleum bulk terminals. All those industries have to report to the TRI, and a lot of their facilities are exactly like the sort of facilities we see in the oil and gas extraction industry. But just because basically, the last time EPA looked at this was 1996. Back then, the industry was a lot different. It's been almost 20 years since then. The industry's been booming. And at that time, EPA's concern was, we've got these wells, and they weren't sure exactly, should we take groups of wells or should we take individual wells to consider as a definition of facility? And EPA sort of punted on the question. They said, we'll come back to it. So what we're doing with this report is saying, we know the well question is one that you need to work out, But even if you put that aside, even if you take some more time with that, we've got these large facilities like processing plants and compressor stations and fractionators. And all these facilities look and act a lot like facilities that are already having to report. So what's the difference? Why do they get a pass?
Right. So 18 years ago, 1996, when this first was thought up, we really didn't have the boom that we have today. And we're seeing so much activity, even right in our own backyards. It would seem like there needs to be some readdressing of the situation.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we're saying. We think it's long past time. EPA has had a lot of time to think about this. It's even starting to consider other industries. And for whatever reason, the oil and gas extraction industry has been a really thorny issue for the agency.
Now, there are the pushback that you're getting on this is that this would be too expensive for the oil and natural gas industry, that there's a lot of small operators, and that this would put them out of business.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's I'm sure you'll hear that for any sort of reporting rule, but the TRI is already built to address that. Basically, you don't have to report to the TRI unless you unless you use a toxic chemical above 10,000 pounds. So for any individual chemical, whether it's benzene or methanol or what have you, if you don't use 10,000 pounds of that chemical, you don't have to report it. So that sort of exempts already the small actors. And also there's an employee threshold. If you don't have 10 employees at your site, you don't even have to report. So the TRI is already built to address that. This is just for the big facilities that are releasing big amounts of toxics that the public should know about.
And so you mentioned benzene, and we know that benzene is a well-documented cancer-causing agent.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have to report that if they've got a well at a ranch next to your ranch, that they don't have to report that that's what they're putting out into the air.
Not to the TRI. Depends on the individuals. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, so not to the TRI, but maybe to the Railroad Commission or somebody in Texas?
That's an interesting thing is that, part of our purpose and, part of our reasoning and going forward with this is that the average member of the public is not going to be able to navigate, the individual websites in different states and whatnot to find this information. The TRI puts it all in one place, everything, water, air, land. And it's right there. You can punch in your zip code and it will tell you what facilities are there, what chemicals they release. It's really simple. But, in Texas, you've got TCEQ and you've got the Railroad Commission. And, it can be a little bit hard to sort of parse what, where and how you're going to look for the information.
Okay, so we're going to continue. We're going to continue this conversation. Adam Crone, he is with the Environmental Integrity Project, talking about the non-reporting of 8.5 billion tons of toxic chemicals each year into our environment by oil and gas facilities. We're going to continue the conversation. We invite you to join us. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX, Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. A loophole is letting hundreds of oil and gas companies emit a combined 8.5 billion tons of toxic chemicals every year in America, and they don't have to tell the public anything about it. A new report by the Environmental Integrity Project has highlighted the industry here in Texas as being the biggest polluter of the eight states that they checked out, noting that nearly 100 individual facilities released 10,000 pounds of toxic chemicals each year. And joining us to talk about that, Adam Crone. He is the attorney for the Environmental Integrity Project. We want to hear from you. If you've got concerns, give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So, Adam, Texas has the most facilities not reporting these things. I guess that's because Texas has the most oil and natural gas activity, right?
Yeah, Texas has been active in the industry for years, so this wasn't a big surprise. That's one of the reasons why we chose Texas for the report, just because we wanted to look at six of the states most active in the oil and gas industry. And Texas has been in the game processing oil and gas and just doing a variety of different functions. So, yeah, this was, as expected.
So you're asking the EPA to change the rules and get oil and gas companies to report to the toxins release inventory. And what are you hearing back?
So far, not much. You know, we know that EPA has received our petition. We know they've received the letter. We met with them last summer, and it was a good meeting. It was, it wasn't really much of a back and forth, but we know that this is something they've been thinking about, and we're just hoping that, now that it's been almost 20 years since they first looked at this, that they'll decide that perhaps it's time to finally list the industry.
So if you don't have this information on this inventory, then are people kind of getting the idea of false security, or do they realize that this is the case and they know they need to dig deeper and look elsewhere to get this information?
Yeah, that's it's been frustrating because the public, one thing we keep hearing, we work in a number of states, and one thing we hear is just that there's not enough information available, that people can't figure out what's going on in their backyard. They might see that they're building a new processing plant or they're building a new compressor station, and, they have to dig for the information. Sometimes they have to, even ask the facility for it, and a lot of times they're just up against, up against a wall. So the TRI, it's right there. It's immediate access. It's free. It's downloadable. It's searchable. So, we hope that in releasing this letter and the data, that the public begins to know that, they could have this source of information.
And will this change the behavior of the oil and gas companies? I mean, they're not just dumping stuff willy-nilly without a care in the world. I mean, but would this change the way they operate?
It's funny you ask, because this one of the things that EPA has really found is that the TRI doesn't impose a single regulation other than just reporting. It doesn't require any limits. It doesn't require sort of any behavioral modification. But what they found is that the industry, just by virtue of reporting, by putting this information in the sunlight, and by actually seeing what their peers are doing, they might say, our competitor down the street's only releasing half as much benzene as we are. How can that be? What are we doing wrong? And so it's sort of almost corporate self-accountability to have that information that they might not have had before.
A lot of people in the oil industry, especially frackers, they say they need to keep a lot of these chemicals and combinations of chemicals private, and it's a closely guarded secret of what they use to frack with. So is that a defense for them?
I don't think so, not in this case. I mean, there's a difference between fracking disclosure regulations and the TRI. The TRI is just basically saying if you use a toxic chemical above a certain amount, report it. And it doesn't say, tell us what your special blend is, tell us, what proportion you use, or tell us, this amount was used for this and this amount was used for that. All you really have to say is how much it was, where it went. And so it's not going to violate anything. If it was like KFC reporting, herbs and spices, it would be, just pounds that they use, not exactly how they mix it and, what the blend is. So it's going to preserve all that information.
So how much work is it to list this information and to post this information and get this on the TRI website?
From what I've seen, it's almost something that's been very quickly adapted into industries, and they do it a lot of times through their accounting offices. They've got environmental compliance officers and whatnot, but this information is so straightforward and such a sort of regular thing. It's the same way that they would report tax information. It's just you get it out there. There's really no question as to it's not as complicated as certain other things. If you're using chemical above a certain amount, it's pretty easy to figure out what you're doing with it. If you're using a small amount, you don't have to report it. So. As we've shown through this, these emissions inventories that we pulled from, a lot of these facilities are already reporting their air releases. So it should be pretty simple for them to be able to move from that. They already have a lot of the framework in place.
And that's what's so mystifying is if they know that they're releasing these formaldehydes and benzenes and hexanes and things like that. Why not just go ahead and do that? Why the pushback? Why the resistance?
Yeah, it's at this point it's not clear, and you know, it's one of these requests that you know, we found that we've actually gotten a lot of support from places where we've not normally had support because it's such a, you know, a very basic request. For example, you know, we when we first put this petition out back in October 2012, this data is in support of that. We got a really nice editorial from the Casper Star Tribune, which is, you know, right in the heart of gas country in Wyoming, and they basically said, you know, the public good is rarely harmed when information is disclosed, only when it is withheld. And you know, they said that, you know, it's a request worthy of consideration. So it's not that we're asking any sort of really hard lift. This is just report what you're doing.
The number is 614-8980, 614-8980, if you want to jump in this conversation. We're talking about oil and natural gas extractors. You know, we got a lot of them here in South Texas, particularly in the Eagle Ford Shale, and they don't have to report to the EPA, the toxins release inventory, what they are putting into the environment, particularly in the air. Some of this is kind of nasty stuff, and so we invite you to comment. The number is 614-8980. So as the EPA, is there resistance, or is it the states saying, we know we can handle this? Because we hear a lot about states' rights, and this is our purview, and EPA, keep out of Texas. Is that also part of this?
You know, I haven't heard much pushback from the states on this. There's, you know, maybe it's because there's just already so much reporting going on for every other industry within the states. I mean, some of the most basic manufacturing industries, like, you know, for example, like leather manufacturing, they report. And so the states are sort of used to the TRI at this point. It doesn't really get into their business. The states don't have to report it. It's just the facilities reporting directly to EPA. So, you know, if there's any sort of resistance to this, it's from the oil and gas industry itself.
And other than these chemicals we've already discussed, I mean, what else is in there that people really should be aware of? And if they're... if they can't find it on the TRI, then where else should they be looking?
Well, you know, that's interesting. It's so the chemicals, we've got a number that we looked at. You know, in addition to benzene, we kind of looked at the usual suspects for oil and gas, like formaldehyde, ethylene glycol, toluene, xylene, hexane, methanol. So, you know, just the sort of standard stuff that you would see in the air. The pollutants you see in the water sometimes can be a little bit different just because, you know, the releases tend to be different for different chemicals. But as far as it goes, this, you know, this information, it would be, you know, pretty easy to report. It's, you know, they're already reporting it to the state emissions inventories. But as far as how the public would get that, you know, we found it wasn't really, you know, as easy as going through the TRI. For example, in Texas, we got our information from TCEQ, and you know, TCEQ is better than
the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality.
Exactly. Yeah. And so for that, we, you know, it required that we submit a request. It took about 2 weeks. We paid about $50 for it, and then we had the information. You know, by contrast, certain other states were missing entire years or just didn't require reporting for that year. Sometimes you had to, you know, submit a request and wait a much longer time. But, you know, just by contrast with all of that, the TRI, you go on the website, you know, punch in the chemical, you punch in your zip code, whatever you want. You can search it by facility.
Yeah, you think people should do that just to find out what comes up in their zip code?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's really...
it sounds like it's scary.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you go right now, I mean, if you were to punch in the studio zip code, you could probably see, you know, what's going on around you. And, I mean, like in the San Antonio area, there's, you know, I was kind of just playing around with the TRI website earlier. And, yeah, there's kind of some interesting stuff on there. Just there's, I think, you know, ExxonMobil has, you know, a big petroleum bulk terminal down the road. And, you know, it's just you could pull it up and you can see exactly like what sort of chemicals are out there. You know, this terminal in particular, they've got, okay, you know, ethyl benzene, lead compounds, N-hexane, toluene, you know, stuff that's
fun
a concern to health. Yeah.
All right, let's get a caller in on this conversation. Tom's been hanging on. Tom, welcome to The Source. You've been on the you're on the air.
Thanks. Yeah, I was. My comment was about the oil fracking here in Texas. I know that Canada has a big natural disaster area from oil fracking that industry that has left that area, and they're trying to clean it up. I'm just wondering, are we doing something in the state of Texas to prevent? I know they're keeping their chemicals secret, but are we doing something? There's some kind of mechanism to keep them from, when they're finished fracking, leaving a big toxic waste in our state.
All right, Tom, thanks for that question. Adam, are you able to address that? That's not exactly what
you know. I'm not sure exactly what Texas has in the way of that sort of regulation. I know certain other states, they have, you know, impact fees, or they require bonding, and those are really important things to require of the industry, because, you know, the state and communities and individuals can't be left holding the bag when, you know, once the tap shuts off. So it's really important. Those are things that, you know, I think each state really needs to do.
Sure. In past Texas oil booms, that was a problem. And then when they had the oil bust and people just folded and they walked away from their extraction points, leaving a big mess for the state to clean up. And that did come out of state coffers. So they have changed laws requiring drillers to be responsible and to do capping of their wells when they are done with that. And they do have to do bonds and other issues to try and keep this mistake from happening again. Adam Cron, thank you so much. He's with the Environmental Integrity Project, the Environmental Integrity Project, their report looking at these chemicals not being reported into the air and the water and around us. 8.5 million tons of toxic chemicals each year coming from the oil and natural gas industry, not reported to the EPA due to an arbitrary loophole. Adam, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.